In your Bible, Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Now we were looking Wednesday at these first few verses here of this catastrophe that is about to take place, and we see God's preparations for it. We read in chapter 5, we see the genealogy here of Seth's family from the time of Adam through Seth, moving up to the time of the flood, 1656 years from the time of Adam to the time of this flood of Noah. We see these folks in this particular genealogy. We said there were, no doubt, there were others that served the Lord during that period of time. But again, the sad part for me is, is that the time you get to Noah, we know everybody else had many sons and many daughters that were born of them. Noah is only mentioned with three sons. I don't know if Noah had other children or not. It would seem likely that he did, since all the rest of them had many children. I don't know. But I know, because the Bible tells us Lamech had many sons and daughters, Noah's daddy, and so that means Noah was preaching to his own family, his own brothers, his own sisters, that would not listen to him, that would not hear that this flood is going to come and take them away, and God's judgment is going to be poured out upon the earth. Methuselah, being Lamech's daddy, died the year of the flood, and as I may mention, and we were talking a little bit about it on the last Sunday, that in fact there are some that believe that literally on the day Methuselah died is when the flood came. And that very well could be. His death shall bring is what his name means. His death shall bring. And so it may very well be the very day that Methuselah died that the flood came. But he was there to encourage Noah in Noah's work as he was preparing this ark. For 120 years, Noah would work on this, on these preparations to build this ark. That sounds like a massive task that Noah is given to perform here, given that they're at the time of no modern equipment that we have today, no sawmills or anything like that that he could take it to, or at least any that we know of. There may have been, we just don't know. We don't know what the technology was of that period. And it seems like a daunting task that that Noah has given here in building this big boat, but there's no doubt Noah probably hired a lot of the work that was to be done. No doubt there was, he probably had a great deal of help to accomplish a lot of these things, even though those folks that were helping necessarily didn't believe in what he was doing. If he gave them a job, they'd come and do it. You know, we go wire people's houses and we think they're crazy for building some of the houses that they build, but while we're doing it, we're glad to wire it anyway they want to wire it, because they're going to pay us to do it. So we'll go. If you want to switch on your ceiling, we'll put a switch on your ceiling. It don't matter. So there were no doubt those that were helping Noah build this ark and prepare for the flood, but given that particular, even though they may not believe the things that Noah was saying, their boss that he was willing to pay them, they would no doubt help build or help construct. It was a daunting task that was given, but perhaps not so much for the work itself, but for what the work meant, what the reality of this was that Noah was preparing for, and that was the destruction of the earth that was going to take place. We read last week, on Wednesday night concerning this, as it tells us the reason why God had come to this punishment to be poured out, and that was because of the wickedness of men In fact, he says there in verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Was only evil continually. But Noah, verse 8 tells us, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah saved just like we were saved. Saved exactly the same way, by grace through faith. God's grace poured out on behalf of Noah. It wasn't because Noah was any better than anybody else, but it was because of God's grace. And in God's grace being poured out, Noah began to follow, began to walk after the Lord, perfect in his generations. And he walked with God. The third person that is mentioned of walking with God. You have Adam in the garden walking with God. You have Enoch walking with God, who was taken, for he was not. God had removed him from the earth. And then we have Noah, who walked with God. And the Bible tells us Noah had these three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And verse 11 says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, verse 12, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in the cubits shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, in this state of corruption that the world was in, God chose out Noah to be the one to deliver life. And he gives Noah this task of building this ark. The ark, of course, is representative of the Lord Jesus. That those that are in him are saved. Those that are outside of him are lost and undone and will be destroyed. And it is only in him that we are saved. And it is by him that we are saved. And so this ark that Noah is building here is a representative of the Lord Jesus and what he would come to be for us as our Messiah, as that one who would deliver us. And so Noah's given specific instructions in regards to the construction of this ark. He says, make me an ark of gopher wood. Well, we don't know what gopher wood is, and there's a lot of ideas about it, what it could be, but we don't know. Gopher wood, whatever that is gopher wood, and that's what God said make the ark out of. And this boat being made out of this wood He says it is to make it out of the oak wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without the pitch. So you have waterproofing on both sides of the ark. On the inside and the outside, there is pitch that was applied to the gopher wood in order to waterproof the ark. He's given specific instructions on the length, the height, and the breadth of it here in verse 15. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Now, cubit is anywhere from about 18 inches to about 21 inches, depending on which culture that you go from in regards to the measurement of the cubit. A cubit is basically the measurement of a man's elbow to the tip of his middle finger is what a cubit length is. But there was actual, you know, just the same as we say a foot. You know, you consider a foot 12 inches, but they have a ruler that's 12 inches long. You don't actually have to use your feet. You can be more accurate with that ruler that's 12 inches long. Well, same thing with a cubit. They actually made rulers or markers that were a cubit long, and those, again, those range depending on what country or what region you were from, anywhere from about 18 inches to about 21 inches being about the longest cubit. So whatever that was, if you can do the figure in there about the length and the breadth and the height of it there, of those cubits, given, I believe it's a short cubit of 18 inches, you have about 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, and about 50 feet tall is what the ark would be, up to about 500 feet and so on. You know, you depend on how you would figure your cubits there, either 18 or 21 inches. There was a window at the top. Some have considered that to be a whole length of windows, each window being a cubit, finished cubit by cubit, meaning that there would be ventilation in the top of it so that the air could be getting in and out. There would be a fresh air exchange on the ark. There was a door in the side that it was finished with, and there were three stories in the ark. Each in those three stories, the ark itself had a volume of 1.4 million cubic feet, which is equivalent to the capacity of 522 railroad cars. 522 railroad cars. That's the capacity of the ark. 1.4 million cubic feet. God has given Noah of these specific directions to perform this task, to build this ark. He says, "Behold, I," verse 17, "even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, and under heaven everything that is in the earth shall die." But he establishes here a covenant with Noah. Now, we are told that these dimensions that God has given Noah is one of the most sound building sizes, the equivalency between the length, the height, and the breadth, is one of the most sound. They had basically a ship built to this size with these kind of ratios could withstand just about anything. If it was properly constructed, the size could withstand anything that it was, which is remarkable in and of itself. But the reality is, it didn't matter. I don't misunderstand. I believe Noah had to build it exactly like God told him to build it. But ultimately, if God told Noah to build a raft, and I'm going to save you from this flood, he would have saved him on the raft, he said. Because the salvation is in the power of God, and it's not in the construction of Noah. And so Noah and his family, though he built this ship and he built it with the reality of these ratios being what they are given as one of the most sound, supposedly, that are able to face and withstand these kind of storms and so on. This is based upon, I think there were a few of our battleships even that were similar in the size of ratio, and that's what they gathered, I think, that information from. But whatever the case may be, it is God's power that protected Noah and his family and those animals that were on the ark. He is the one that kept it. He is the one that held it all together. He is the one that provided that deliverance for them. And so he makes a covenant with Noah here in regards to this. He's telling Noah that he's going to destroy the earth with flood. It's never rained. The Bible tells us that the mist came up from the ground every morning and watered the whole face of the earth. They never seen droplets fall from the sky. Though there was the firmament that was above the earth, the body of water that surrounded the earth there in the expanse of the earth from the firmament, that body of water that was there, they look up and see that, and that which was above them in the heaven there, but they never saw water fall from the sky. Yet as Moses records it, Noah is telling us, hey, it's going to rain. God said, it's going to rain, and when it rains, he's going to flood the whole earth. And so you ain't never seen it before. It's hard to believe it, you know. And so a lot of people are saying, and Noah lost his mind. It doesn't rain around here. Water don't fall from the sky just like that. He don't know what he's talking about. But God's telling him, no, this is what I'm going to do. And Noah believed God. He believed him enough to build his ark. 120 years from the time that God made this announcement to the time that the flood came, and Noah was faithful to continue that work and to be able to make those preparations to gather the material and do the work and to build that ark. In that amount of time, that's a dedication to believe, knowing what God is going to do in the destruction of that flood. And so Noah believes that it's based upon this covenant, verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. So he had two of every kind of animal to be brought on the ark with Noah and his family, two dogs, two horses, two cats, etc. He didn't have to have all the variations that are in the species. In other words, he didn't have to have two of every kind of cat. He said there are two cats. Because the variation would come after the flood, after they came off the ark, those variations in the family of cats would come over the centuries and over the years, that you would have these different cats and different horses and different dogs and so on. So they only needed two of each kind. Two of each kind. The animals would be brought to Noah by God, is what he told him there. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. They would come to him that he might gather them and put them on the ark. Everything God had commanded, Noah did it. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. No explanation is given to us here in Scripture. Doesn't tell us how he did it. It just simply said he did it. What God told him to do, that's what Noah did. He was born, he obeyed, he commanded, he followed the commandment that God had given him, and he did the work and accomplished all that God had given him to perform. Notice chapter 7. The Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, the fowls also of the air by sevens, of male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And so God tells Noah, of all the clean beasts, he gives some clarification here, of all the clean beasts you're going to take seven. That means seven sheep, seven cows, those things that would be used especially for sacrifice and especially for feeding people, those herd animals that they would use. He took seven of those on the ark with him. Of the unclean, it was just the two, male and female in his time, whatever that time would be. So he had two eights on there, but he had seven sheep, you see. Those clean, he had seven of every kind of those unclean, two, male and female. And Noah and his family here are commanded to get in the ark. 7 days before the flood came, Noah and his family and all the animals were in the ark. They weren't willing to get in there when the rain started. They were already there. 7 days they were loaded in the ark. 7 days that door stood open. 7 days anybody else that would have walked into that ark could say, I believe that will not, all that come unto me, I will not turn them away. They will be mine. I will raise them up at the last day, the Lord says. Anyone that would come to it, I believe anyone that would enter in that ark during that 7 day period would have been on that ark with Noah and his family through the flood. But nobody entered it. Noah and his family and all those animals. And you thought, Noah, now, I don't think anyway, I don't think Noah's out in the desert somewhere building this ark. The one thing, there was no desert at that time. This is in the lush greenery of the pre-flood earth. The firmament was still over. This is a tropical environment that they were a part of at this time. I don't believe he's out in the middle of nowhere. I'd say no, pretty close to a city somewhere. I'd say pretty close to where he could get these equipment and these things that he needed for the building of the ark. I would say that he was somewhere within a population area, and you would think when you saw Noah go into the ark and suddenly all these animals gather up here. Where did all them animals come from yesterday? You see all them animals out there in Noah's ark? And then you see all them animals get on the ark. You would think that would cause people to pause at least and to think about it. Jim. 7 days they were loaded in this ark. 7 days that door was open. 7 days before the floodwaters ever came, there was a welcome, open door for any to pass through that would get on that ark with Noah and his family to believe. And those 7 days, Noah went into being. And those 7 days, no one would enter in with Noah and his family for the coming of this flood. And after those 7 days, Bible tells us there in verse 5, chapter 7, Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. 600 years old. Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, the beasts that are not clean, the fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Ernst Mayr, he is a modern taxonomist. He's out and studies animals and families of animals and species and so on. He estimated that today there are 17,600 different animal species. 17,600. Mammals, 3,500. Birds, 8,600. Reptiles and amphibians, 5,500. That means there would be about 35,000 vertebrate animals on the ark. That's 17,600 animals times two, male and female. 35,000 using Mayr's numbers. The average size of all known animals is about the size of a sheep. 73 railroad cars will hold 35,000 sheep. 73 railroad cars will hold 35,000 sheep, which means all the animals that were on the ark would have fit on one deck with room to spare. One deck with room to spare. One deck probably for the food and the water. They take a lot of that on because they're going to be on here for a year. And so you would need a lot of water, a lot of food. So that was probably, at this point, when characteristics were placed in the animals, like hibernation. If you have hibernation instilled in these animals, you know they have to be calmed in some way, which God would have done that in sending these animals to Noah. So there was this could have been where this first comes about. With the hibernation of these animals while they were on the ark, maybe the majority of them were sleeping and wouldn't require as much food as normal. But they would have to have place for food and place for water for them. You'd have to have, of course, place for waste and place for Noah and his family to reside. And I can't imagine how you could make that place smell sweet. Living in that box. That's what the word ark means, by the way. It means box. And I don't know how you could make that. I mean, you could burn all the vanilla you want to. I just don't think you would make it smell good in that box with all those animals. But nevertheless, Noah and his family in that ark with all those animals, again, being able to fit every animal in the ark on one deck of this three-deck ship. Easily fit. When you see these pictures, we should be careful as Christians today when we see these pictures, especially on kids' books of this little boat, and you have the animals busting out of the boat because they all can't fit on this little tiny ark. We need to be sure to instruct our children that's nothing like what Noah's ark is. We need to make them aware that the giraffe didn't have his head hanging out when he was in Noah's ark. It was plenty big enough for Mr. Giraffe to get in there too. So there was plenty of room. And if you've been, most of you have been up to see the ark in Williamstown and got a tour of that and get an idea of the massiveness of what Noah's ship would have looked like, at least in the size and what that would appear to be. We can see very quickly there was plenty of room for these animals all to fit on this ark that Noah had constructed and built according to God's direction. Again, the capacity of the ark is 522 railroad cars, and it has only taken about 73 to house all the animals. You're not even a third yet of the railroad cars needed. So very easily, all of them would have fit on one deck of the ship. Noah puts them on the ark, or they come onto the ark, and when his family get into the ark, and after those 7 days, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Verse 11 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And we'll hold off there and take up Wednesday with what takes place here in this flood. Again, as we were talking about Wednesday night, there are so many that have no concept of this. They think it's silly that we would even believe such a thing. You have the majority of evolutionary scientists today that say this never happened. Even though literally in every place in this world there's sedimentary rock layers. You have sedimentary rock layers present because those sediments were laid down by water. It is literally everywhere in the world. And when their science says, well, yeah, there's sediments because of the flood, but it was just a flood in this area. And it was a flood in this area. And it was a flood in this area. There's a flood over there, there's a flood over there. Flood over there, flood here, flood there, flood there. Flood all over the place, but never a worldwide flood, they say. There's sedimentary rock literally all over the world. At some time there's sedimentary rock all over the world. We have on the highest mountains of the world sea fossils. Fossils of sea creatures. Literally, on all the mountains of the world there are fossils of seashells. How did they get there? If that mountain was not once covered by water. It was a worldwide flood. A worldwide flood that happened about 4,500 years ago. Every single culture of any ancient day at all has a story about the flood. Not all of them mentioned Noah. We're talking about Wednesday, the Mesopotamians. It was in the Epic of Gilgamesh that they describe the flood and what happened. And they in fact, the Epic of Gilgamesh says he built a boat, and it was more like a raft, and he put as many hands on it. It was a local flood in the Epic of Gilgamesh. They were already twisting the story by that time, even when it was written just a few years after Noah. But you have literally every culture in the world, even to the point that in the Chinese language, the character in the Chinese language for flood, the character for flood, their letter, you know, that represents the word flood, is eight people in a boat. You have the boat symbol with eight people in it. That is their character for flood in the Chinese language. Now, where did they get that from? Where did they get that from? It is in every culture, every ancient culture around the world. There is the story of the flood. It happened exactly as God has declared it to in His Word. It happened exactly like that. It covered the world. He even tells us the exact depth. 15 cubits above the highest mountain. Now, I understand what we understand because of what took place in the flood, the mountains would not have been as high then as they are now. It was unlikely that there may be high hills, but there probably was not mountain ranges at that point. It is because of the flood and the movement of the tectonic plates of the Earth's crust that have caused these push-ups of these mountains in the mountain regions of the mountains of the world that we see. It's likely from those floodwaters and the recessing of those floodwaters that have caused these mountain ranges to form as they form from the breaking up of the deep, the waters of the deep coming forth, as we'll get into next time, windows of heaven being opened up. This would cause these great movements of water and earth. And so it's from that it's believed to be that the mountains were raised up at that point. but it covered the earth 15 cubits above the highest mountain. God gives us the exact details. It happened exactly as God declared it happened in His Word. Next time, we'll, on Wednesday, we're going to look more pointedly at the flood and what took place during the flood. Those effects of the water upon the earth at that point. And we'll consider this work of God's judgment as His wrath is poured out upon this earth. Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed tonight.